Landowners are suing tribal leaders to reopen roads in northern Wisconsin that have been barricaded for a month. It's Thursday, March 2nd. This is Wisconsin Today. Good morning. I'm Alex Crow. Coming up, Sean Johnson has the latest in the highly watched race for the state Supreme Court. And Sarah Lear has a story on books that are banned in Wisconsin prisons and what that means for the people behind bars. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
Around three dozen landowners are suing tribal leaders with the Lac des Flambeaux Band of Lake Superior Chippewa to reopen four roads that have been blocked by barricades for a month. Danielle Kading has more.
Residents' access to and from their homes was blocked in late January by order of the Lac des Flambeaux Tribal Council. The landowners filed a lawsuit Tuesday asking a federal court to require that the four roads be immediately reopened. They argue that because the roads are funded by a federal program, that they're public and must remain open. Rachel Pearson is one of the residents suing tribal leaders. She says she wants a fair outcome for the tribe.
I'm trying to be as respectful as possible, but I feel like all my rights have been taken away. So it's more and more difficult to feel that way.
The tribe closed roads after failed negotiations with the town of Lac des Flambeaux and title companies over right-of-way easements that expired in 2010. The tribe is asking for $20 million to reopen roads. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A lawsuit aimed at abolishing guidelines supporting transgender students in Eau Claire schools has been dismissed by a federal judge. An anonymous group calling itself Parents Protecting Our Children sued in September. They argued that the policy violated parents' religious and constitutional rights. In particular, they claimed the guidelines allow staff to address children as if they are the opposite sex without parental consent. Last week, federal magistrate Judge Stephen Crocker ruled that the group lacks legal standing because it did not show actual harm to members or their children. Tim Nordine is the president of the Eau Claire School Board.
Well, what it really means is that we're able to continue on supporting those non-binary or transgender students in a way that both helps them to live their true selves, but also serves as a bridge to families.
The conservative Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, which represented the parents, said it's disappointed with the ruling and plans to appeal. Supreme Court candidate Janet Protasiewicz says she'll likely recuse herself in any cases involving the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. As Sean Johnson reports, the party has been one of her top donors in this year's campaign.
Speaking to reporters after an event in Madison, Protasiewicz was asked whether she'd be able to hear cases involving the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, which transferred $2.5 million to her campaign. She said it would be doubtful and that she'd likely recuse herself because the public deserves an appearance of fairness.
And I don't know that the public could really say, she's fair when she's received $2.5 million from a particular entity.
Protasiewicz stopped short of saying she'd recuse herself from cases involving other groups who advocate on behalf of Democrats. She also said she would not recuse herself in cases involving abortion or redistricting, two issues where she's frequently talked about her personal views during the campaign. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio.
As budget negotiations get underway, the legislature's top Republican is telling groups with a stake in the plan that there's not as much money as they think. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss made his remarks to the Wisconsin Counties Association yesterday. He spoke to the organization a day after Governor Tony Evers told county leaders that they would receive the more than $500 million increase in shared revenue that they were hoping for. Voss said he expected the legislature would prioritize local governments when lawmakers crafted their version of the budget.
But if I was sitting here and speaking to the Wisconsin Association of School Boards, they are going to want an increase in spending too. And if I were talking to the Wisconsin Towns Association, they would like more money as well. So we have got a really challenging environment to deal with. where people believe that there is more money than we can spend, but the reality is we have a whole lot of priorities we have to figure out.
Wisconsin has a projected $7 billion budget surplus, according to the legislature's budget office, but Voss said that number was based mostly on one-time money that's not sustainable. Governor Tony Evers has proposed $5 million for a new Milwaukee Arts and Community Center. Evan Casey reports on how the center will be used.
The Bronzeville Center for the Arts will include a gallery for black art from across Milwaukee and Wisconsin. Tentative plans for the center also include a teaching and event space. Evers included the $5 million in his capital budget, which he announced this week. Kristen Hardy is the chair of the center's board of directors. She says she's excited to see the state willing to partner with them on the project.
We look at art as a tool to unify the community, empower the youth, foster entrepreneurship, and then teach about the rich history, not just about artists of African descent, but also about the history of Bronzeville.
The center will likely open in 2026, replacing a former state office building. Leaders also hope it'll drive tourists to the city. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up after the break, we've got a story from reporter Sarah Lear about banned books in the Wisconsin prison system. Stay with us.
You know you can count on WPR for news that's important, music that makes your day better, and conversations that make you think. We hope you'll make a financial contribution to support the radio service you rely on, and in fact, we count on it. The single largest portion of our budget comes from listener support. If you're not a member yet, make a gift of any amount today at WPR.org. Thank you.
And finally, hundreds of book and magazine titles are banned inside of Wisconsin prisons. That includes pornographic magazines and books that describe techniques for making weapons or illegal drugs. But the banned books list is also far-reaching enough to prohibit manuals on computer coding. And some advocates say the restrictions make it harder for people to expand their education well behind bars. Sarah Lear reports.
Marianne Olson spent more than 5 years behind bars in Wisconsin. While she was there, she says she asked for books to try and keep up with her prior career field of web design.
My incarceration was to help me understand not only why I made the poor choice I made, but to learn a better way. And in my mind, that meant a strong vocation.
But Olson, who had a job driving a van for the prison where she was incarcerated, says her access to those books was denied.
Here I am being handed keys to a vehicle and allowed to leave every day. And yet a book that would teach me how to use Microsoft Front Page was a security risk.
Prison officials screen inmates' mail and other reading materials. Wisconsin Public Radio used a public records request to obtain a list of the publications that have been approved or denied. The list shows officials used a policy banning anything deemed a threat to security to bar access to multiple computer literacy books. That includes titles like Coding Made Simple and Microsoft 10 in Easy Steps. Even so, the Department of Corrections says certain tech-related books could be allowed if they're part of a course in inmates taking. A spokesman for the agency says the prison system has expanded its job skills and educational opportunities. But Moira Marquis doubts the logic behind many of the department's restrictions. She leads a prison writing program through an anti-censorship organization called PEN America.
The stated rationale, I think, is that people are going to develop into computer hackers and hack the, computerized systems of security at the facilities, which is a pretty far-fetched paranoid fantasy when it comes to a book like Windows 10.
Marquis believes concerns about security can snowball into banning a wide range of books that are considered subversive.
It's, I think, unlikely that security is really being served by limiting what people can read.
Wisconsin prison officials prohibited scores of books because they contained nudity or were deemed pornographic. A book describing how to fund a cannabis business is banned because prison leaders say it advocates breaking state law. So is one on rope knotting techniques, which officials say could be used to escape. The restrictions also extend into the realm of fantasy. In 2005, a Wisconsin inmate sued after his Dungeons & Dragons books and magazines were confiscated. That suit was dismissed after a prison captain argued the game could foster gang activity and encourage escapist fantasies. But prison reform activist Dante Cottingham says books, whether escapist or not, are a lifeline to people behind bars. He argues book bans are about imprisoning minds.
There's a deep sense of oppression inside prisons. That's simply another part of their oppressive intent to prevent you from growing, from feeling empowered.
Cottingham was released from Wisconsin prison last year. One thing he's enjoyed since getting out? Buying books that used to be banned. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
You can browse the full list of banned books and magazines by checking out the online version of this story at WPR.org. And that'll do it. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers are John Davis and Bridget Bowden. Catch us wherever you get your podcasts every weekday morning. And of course, you can find more news anytime at WPR.org. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.